This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's our pal Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5. What's up, Kevin?
TP. Hey,
I'm looking at your Twitter right now, Kevin McCarthy TV. When is that picture from? Your picture on Twitter where you've got a bowl cut. Like, it's not an exaggeration. This is a bowl cut.
Oh, I was the king of bowl cuts, man. That was like my whole thing. I would guess I'm probably 7 or 8 in that photo. I don't remember how old I'm. My mom said it to me on my birthday recently, like back in March. But
it's a keeper with your hand on your chin. It's
yeah,
a
what
solid
am I doing?
Look.
This? I'm doing right. Like what? Can I ask a question? I don't know. I mean, you guys have kids who have taken school photos. Do they still do that?
No, I don't think so. That's very old school.
What's the question?
It's just standard.
Remember back in the day, poses.
Eric, yeah. Back in the day, Eric, when I would do a school photo, I guess I could say back in the day now because that was 20-something years ago. God, it's crazy. You put your hand like this. And he did the photo with your hand under your chin.
Know. Did we ever do that?
I don't think we did that. That must have been
It was a dumb Virginia Beach thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a 757 thing.
Yeah. Right, 757, they did that.
Remember that time I tried to claim him from 757 so I know music?
It's embarrassing. Yeah.
Something tells me Michael Vick doesn't have a picture that looks like that from his elementary school days. Right.
No, or Ryan Zimmerman. There's no chance he did that.
So, Kevin.
I told you this before. Michael Vick's uncle lived across the street from me growing up, so Marcus would come over and play basketball.
Gotcha.
Let me guess, who was better?
I honestly didn't know who they were, so I was just like, they were just living across the street from me.
I'm from 757. From 757.
Right. Oh, my God, so annoying. Kevin, so the news that's making all the rounds is the Justin Timberlake movie, I guess, did very well, right, on the on-demand release or whatever the hell it was. And what everyone's saying is movie theaters are the primary thing that's going to suffer the most in terms of like sort of the entertainment world. Like they may go away.
Well, it's an interesting. They're basically at war, essentially. Theater owners and studios. Basic premise is this: for many years, theater owners and studios have had an agreement that there would be a certain theatrical window that a movie would play in prior to entering your homes. That way, it gave theaters the exclusivity of the movie. So you can't see The Matrix. You can't see whatever big movie you want to see. You have to go to the cinema first before it hits your VOD or your VHS or whatever it's been over the years and years and this has been a thing.
Right before it made it to Blockbuster.
Right. But when the pandemic happened, understandably, we had to adjust. So what happened was Universal Pictures, I'm on the theater side of this. So this is going to come from my perspective personally, but I do think that Universal kind of jumped the gun and they were like, you know, we're going to put Trolls out on April 10th, the same exact day we were going to release it in theaters. And everyone was like, all right, I understand that. We'll make an exception. I mean, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. People need content. I get it. Let's just throw it out there and see what happens. Now, if you understand, this is very interesting. Look at the movies they moved to VOD and the movies they delayed in theaters. So they delayed Fast 9. They delayed Jurassic World, the production of that movie. They're keeping the big blockbusters
Quiet
in
Place.
Theaters.
Yep.
Quiet Place,
exactly.
Yeah.
Quiet Place, exactly. So those were all movies, Mulan, Bond, all movies that specifically moved to other dates and did not come to your homes early. So when Trolls came to your homes early on April 10th, it was the first time that this has ever happened at this level. So, of course, the numbers were going to be big because there's nothing to compare it to. So it made $95 million in its first 3 weeks of downloads. Now, that's a lot of money. It is. Don't get me wrong. And Eric, to your point, that is a scary statistic because it does ring true to the idea that is the movie theater system going to change? But here's what's interesting. The first Trolls made $400 million worldwide. There's no comparison in numbers. And also, just theaters, the people who work at theaters, it's a whole business. It's not just the movie. It's the theater. Everybody is affected by this. So when the numbers came out, Eric, and it made $95 million, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal where the CEO of Universal basically said, going forward, we're going to release in both formats. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, that was essentially what he said. And that really freaked out theater owners. So AMC fires off this letter, AMC Theaters, and they go, and this is, I still can't believe this is a real headline. I mean, I know you guys aren't the biggest movie fans on the planet. Like, you're not really into the inside baseball of the production and the movie industry. But for a major theater chain like AMC to write a letter and say, we refuse to play your movies in our theater to Universal Pictures, that means Fast and Furious 9, Jurassic World, Minions, all these Halloween, the horror movies Halloween, none of those will play in an AMC from this point going forward, according to that letter.
Right, but okay, that was a long way of answering the questions, Kevin. They're suggesting that theaters are not going to survive. Like, that's it, that there's just going to be a new way of doing business. I know you don't like that notion, but how probable do you think that is?
The reason I answered it so long, Eric, is because I wanted to give the explanation as to what I'm about to say to you right now. I think that theaters need to stand like this in order to survive, meaning that if AMC says, I'm going to refuse to play your movies, that does put Universal Pictures in a very interesting position. Now, to the side of that, Regal Cinemas came out with a statement and said, we will not play films that do not accept the theatrical window we've been doing for a long time. So essentially what you have now is, if Universal Pictures, for example, decided to put Fast and Furious 9 out, the same day they put it in theaters, they put it on VOD, AMC, Regal, and many other theater chains that have come out to say this would not play that film. So that's thousands and thousands of theaters that would not play Fast and Furious 9. So to your question, Eric, I think they've both put themselves in bad positions. People are saying AMC is bluffing because they're on the brink of bankruptcy, and they're just saying this because they want to, you know, put that out there and make sure people understand the theatrical experience is the best thing. On the other side, though, Eric, as you said, the money Trolls made is a game-changing number. It is a number that is making studios go, wait a second, when are theaters going to be back to full capacity? We have no idea. Why don't we start changing our business model and throwing films to VOD?
Do we know the numbers for Extraction? Because a movie like that, which is straight to Netflix, is not a movie that hit the theaters. So Trolls to me is a bit of a one-off because it's a kid's movie. It's animated.
Agreed.
Everybody who's got kids at home, including myself, ordered it for $20 bucks when I normally wouldn't order it for $20 bucks. Ordered it, got it for, played it like three times in that 48-hour window. My kid loved it. But I think that's a one-off. Like, a movie like Extraction, I think, would be a more interesting movie to see.
Well, it's interesting because Extraction is a Netflix movie that's produced specifically for Netflix, and then it would go to certain theaters. I mean, I don't know if this is kind of crazy, too. Netflix doesn't get along with AMC theaters and Regal. So you'll never see a Netflix movie in AMC or Regal. You'll always see a Netflix movie at, like, a Landmark or an East Street or a Bethesda, because Netflix does not adhere to the window that theaters want. So Netflix is like, oh, we have Irishman. Take our movie and run it. It's Martin Scorsese. It's Robert De Niro. It's Al Pacino. AMC and Regal are like, okay, give us 90 days exclusivity and then put it on your platform.
But how many people are watching a movie like Extraction?
Tons. I mean, Extraction, the numbers haven't come out yet, but I mean, you saw the numbers for Tiger King, 35 million in the first 10 days.
Like
I mean,
the numbers for go back to Bird Box with Sandra Bullock. Those numbers were huge.
Or Bright with Will Smith. So
I mean, it's just so easy to watch it. It's so easy to do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
It's an hour and 45 minutes. You sit in your office or sit on your couch and watch it.
But this comes down to human, to a human level here. And here's why. I get that it's easier for people to watch it this way. But I would also argue that going to the theaters is good for your mental health and good to get out in a social setting. It gets you out of the house. You're with your friends. You're meeting up with people for a drink or dinner beforehand. It is a going to a movie is a much different experience. I know, Eric, for you, your favorite thing is to go to a movie, get a big bucket of popcorn, and sit there and watch it. Right. And I feel like that's a calming thing for you. I think you like doing that because it gets you out of your house.
Usually puts me to sleep, but yeah.
Movie fun. King, whatever EB. King of the movies.
But whatever it does for you, Eric, that's fine. But
I like it. I want to be able to go to the movies when I want to go.
It's an experience is what you're trying to say, Kevin. It's an experience.
Right. And to answer your question, Eric, yes, the model's going to change. The scary part about it is what will it be? And I think the story you asked me about is a very important story, and I'm glad you asked me about it because I feel like a lot of people don't really truly understand the full scope of what this means. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of theater people at home right now who work at concession stands, ticket takers, managers of movie theaters that rely on that paycheck to pay their bills, take care of their kids. And for Universal to basically say, we may do this going forward, that's a threat to all those people's jobs. I mean, if you think about it this way, JP, I mean, I'll ask you flat out. I bet you all of you have the exact same answer. If a movie was at your home versus a theater, where would you watch it?
All things being equal, if I could get out to the theater, I like the theater better.
I think it depends on the movie, too.
I like the theater better. Okay. And I don't get to do it as often as I used to now that I have the little one, but I like going out on a date with my wife, seeing a movie, having dinner, the drinks, the experience of it all.
Jason?
Again, I think it depends on the movie. Like A Quiet Place 2, I think I would like to watch that in the theater.
Yeah.
But if I had to watch, I don't know. What was the movie you just brought up, the De Niro movie?
Like Trolls World Tour, or like Irishman.
Irishman. I could watch. I mean, I don't think I need to watch Irishman in a theater. I can watch that at home.
So, to Takes, are you?
I'm a theater guy, but I'm a theater dude. But
your life wouldn't change.
But you know me, Kevin. Turn on my TV and I have a first run movie there, it's tempting to watch it at home.
You know me, Kevin. I don't like going to theaters on a Friday night like Eric does with, 200 people.
I don't do that.
You're the Tuesday. I haven't done that in 30 years.
I like to do it. All right, like JP. JP will go watch it on a weekend with 200 people. I like to watch it with no
one. I'm weird. I like a full theater. And like I say right now, the best theater experiences I've ever had were like films like Avengers Endgame, where you're coming to a culmination of like 23 movies and everybody's in on it. But I will say this, though. I mean, you got to think about it from concerts perspective, too. I mean, like we have no idea what the world is going to look like on the other side of this. I mean, concerts and I can't imagine people going to concerts anymore at this point. But movie theaters are interesting because they're enclosed, right? And I don't know what they're going to have to do. So here's the thing, and this is kind of what I'm hoping for. I'm going to put this out into the universe. Christopher Nolan is my favorite filmmaker working right now, aside from Quentin Tarantino. And he has a movie coming out on July 17th called Tenet. Jason, this is going to be a movie you're going to be blown away by. It's an international spy thriller with Denzel Washington's
spy
son,
report.
John David Washington.
All right.
Yeah, and Robert Pattinson. And it looks unbelievable. And so Christopher Nolan is actually one of the only few filmmakers who's preserving the theatrical experience. He's not letting right now, Warner Brothers has not moved that movie on July 17th. The theory would be, and this would be the coolest thing ever if it happens, that Christopher Nolan's movie would be the one that welcomes people back to theaters. Because this is the guy who changed filmmaking with The Dark Knight, Interstellar, Inception, Dunkirk. He is the guy that loved the theater experience. So could you imagine, for theater nerds or film nerds, that guy, that filmmaker, welcoming people back to cinema, that narrative would be very interesting. I'll tell you why. July 17th would be a date. Maybe we'd still be social distancing, obviously, in movie theaters. So maybe it's 6 feet apart. I don't know what it would be. they would clearly not have the capacity to make the money they would have in normal circumstances. But think about the word of mouth and the narrative around the movie. That was the one that brought people back to theaters. And I think that's a great story.
Kevin, got
so
like a minute.
We'll see what happens.
Got like a minute. If people want to watch something this weekend, what should they watch?
All right, so obviously The Last Dance. I know you guys can make fun of me. I am obsessed with it. I think the Dennis Rodman explanation of his rebounds was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. I never thought about the science of that. I always just thought it was, you know, go up and grab the ball. But the fact that he like had a science of clicks and sounds on the rim and the board, that was awesome. I'm sorry, that was amazing. And obviously the end of the episode 4 with, you know, Magic Johnson and then beating the Lakers. It was Michael crying over the trophy was incredible. I love it. I'm sorry, you guys made fun
all
of
right,
me.
All right, Last Dance. All right, go ahead next.
Yeah, you love it.
Everyone else has watched that, but go ahead.
All right, a couple of new things to Netflix. Today's May 1st. All 3 Back to the Future films are available on Netflix now, which is kind of cool. It's a great escape. I think Back to the Future 3 is an underrated masterpiece. Demolition Man is on Hulu. I love this movie. Sylvester Stallone, Sandra Bullock, and I love it because in that movie, in the future, the only fast food restaurant that exists now is Taco Bell. And then finally,
of course, that's
one of
why
the
you
scariest movies I've ever seen in my life. Jason, I know you'll agree with me on this. Sinister. This is a movie. You've seen Sinister, right, Jason?
Remind
Ethan
me.
Ethan Hawke.
Oh, I saw that movie.
Films.
I can never unsee that movie.
Let me tell you right now, if you're a horror fan, this was an underrated horror gem that came out years back from the director of Doctor Strange. His name is Scott Derrickson. He directed a movie called The Exorcism of Emily Rose. This is an R-rated, like, Super 8 horror film with Ethan Hawke that will literally ruin your mind for a long time.
I don't know if I saw this. I don't know if I saw this.
It is.
It's weird.
Horrifying. Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Cap, we got to run.
At your own risk. All right, I love you guys. Papa Easy, right, JP, and Papa Lala.
Love you, Kevin. Talk to you soon. That's Thank Kevin you. McCarthy.
By the way, there's a couple of things to watch tonight or DVR, Eric. First of all, the Alex Smith documentary, obviously.
Yeah.
But also, and you and I are interested in this, but the Lori Vallow case is going to be highlighted on Dateline tonight.
Oh, text me. Jason Sears, text me on that.
That's going to be, I think that's 9 o'clock maybe tonight.
What time's the Alex Smith thing?
I don't know.
7:30, I think.
Yeah, 7:30.
So you got a couple
text,
things.
Please.
Yeah, I got you. Don't worry. Just wait for him.
All right, that's Kevin McCarthy.
I'm from 757.
Fox 5. Remember, we got John Feinstein joining us at 8 o'clock here on The Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We've become a full-service show since we've been coming from home. Here's a quick shout-out to a new listener, Bill Leek of Leesburg. There's your shout-out.
Nice. Brand new?
Just listening.
Where has he been?
Don't know.
That's very cool.
By the way, it's raining again.
Anymore. What?
It's raining again.
No, it's not.
Well, it is in my house.
Fire King's going to be out there today.
I mean, it's raining. Is it ever going to stop?
I don't know.
Apparently
I
not.
Thought it was, but maybe there was going to be a 1-hour little window here in the Inkton where it's supposed to rain maybe from like 9 to 10 or something, and then that was it.
Well, it's raining now here. I just, it gets me so salty.
Yeah.
The I rain think it's going to be okay by the time the show's over. Like,
it's depressing.
I decided to get dressed. I'm dressed in what I'm going to run in. So, like, right after the show, I'll go for my run. I've got my shorts on, I've got my running gear on.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't Ready think it's
to
supposed to
so
rain
hopefully it's
all day,
not raining but at 10.
I'm going to go for a walk and pick up sticks.
Get that kindling. Get that kindling hustle on.
Although we picked up a big-ass stick the other day that we noticed had termites in it, and now we're like, well, I probably got termites in the truck.
Oh, and then they're going to find the wood.
Then they're going to find
house,
your bathroom.
The wood grain.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're not going in the house. They're not going to be in the house. Yeah. I burned that window.
I hope they are.
I saw those little bastards. They were scrambling. I said, bad day for you guys. You guys are finny. Real quick.
By the way, all this rain is coming your way. I'm just looking at the weather map. Right, so.
I refuse to accommodate it. big shout out to one of our advertisers, Golfdom. They are back open for business today.
Ooh, look at that.
I got a text from a buddy yesterday. I know Lurch did too. They are safely shopping in the store to be open in 2 hours, all web and curbside availability, obviously, and 30% off apparel this weekend. So we know that the golf community has been holding strong throughout all this, but you haven't been able to maybe pick up some balls, or you haven't been able to maybe pick up some new outfits, whatever it is, some rain gear, whatever it is that you need. They've got it at Golf Them. So hit them up. We love them. They've been super, super supportive of this show for a long, long time.
By the way, does anybody still show up at the course with old, non-wicking cotton golf shirts?
Old guys.
Old dudes do? Yeah. They'll still rock.
But anybody who has a clue goes over to Golf Them and hooks themselves and they get a nice outfit.
Yeah.
And they at least look good on the golf course.
I still need a bag. Because if I have to play, I gotta go talk to my man Buddy. Because if I go play like in a place where like they're not using carts, or and they're encouraging walking, my stand,
that's
my
your
bag,
nightmare.
My bag just falls down. Yeah, the legs on the bag are busted.
Legs are rickety.
Get a push cart.
I'm in the demo.
You're squarely in that demo now. 50
I can
plus.
Actually order my own one of those that the old codgers have that just is like a drone. You know what I mean? Like you just put this little remote thing and it's got its own little engine.
It rolls about 20 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
Golf nerd.
I can tell my wife to get me that for Christmas.
Eric, you can get away with a handicap flag in a cart.
Absolutely. Perfect for you.
Joning.
When can I get one of those license plates?
I don't know.
Plates?
Just walk to the starter with a limp.
Hold on.
So if you have a disability, they put a different flag on your cart?
Well, you take it a little closer to the green.
Yeah, this is what you do. You attach a handicap flag to your cart.
Right.
And that basically means you are able to drive wherever you want besides on the green with your golf cart.
I know Tom's not sized for those. He'd rather you just...
Oh, yeah. All golf course owners hate those things.
They don't get sized for that. You drive around wherever you want.
Yeah. But they got to hook the capped.
You get carte blanche, so to speak.
Valdez, I just take my hat off. I just go in there and go...
Yeah, with your old hurting golf clubs. Oh, no, you got new ones now, so you're good.
No, I have great clubs. Yeah, I forgot. I have an old bag.
You just got fitted for new TaylorMade sellers.
Yeah, no, silly. And then when I stand the bag up, the legs collapse and it crashes.
Can you stop being such a squeaker and just get a new bag? Or ask your guy Buddy and golf
buddy.
Them to hook you.
I need Buddy. Cakes, you know how it is. It's like when you worked in the music industry and I told you to go buy the new CD. It's kind of hard to do it when you're, you know what I'm saying? When people give them to you all the time.
I understand.
But see, this is what he does. When he needs something, he brings it up on the air because he knows Buddy's going to hear it. And he's going
to
text him in 20 minutes and say, I got you.
Hey, if Buddy gets you a bag, can you put a handicap symbol on it? I'm begging him.
And then 2 weeks from now, he's going to joan on you for doing the exact same thing, Jason.
It depends. Mm-hmm. Depends.
Well, I don't need a bag, but I need other stuff. So I'll be in touch with Buddy.
Well,
believe me.
Great story is it's actually humbled me is when I went over there and tried to get fitted for a driver twice and hit it so inconsistently that I had the walk of shame.
Right.
I walked out of there head down low, drenched in sweat, and my back hurt for a week.
Of course it did.
That's
you threw
not
out your back.
Actually, my chest too. I pulled a chest muscle.
Too many swings.
I thought I was having a heart attack.
That's Exhibit A for your handicap flag.
Yeah. I was swinging so hard for 2 days, I could not dial it in.
So yesterday on the show, we had Coach Ron Rivera, and I thought it was a very engaging interview. If you missed it, you could still use the rewind feature on radio.com or check out the podcast. He jumped on with us right after he had been on the NFL Network, and we just didn't have time to talk to him about Cam Newton. But on the NFL Network, they asked him about Cam, and he had some interesting comments. He said, the thing about Cam really is the situation. We're in a situation where we've got two really young quarterbacks. So he went down that road. But then later he said, I think with Cam, and I've thought about signing him. I mean, it's something that runs through my mind. It's about the situation and circumstances. So it doesn't completely rule it out. I think
he's
we
being,
talked to him.
No, he's being nice.
He was very high on Dwayne. I think if you listen to the interview, I think one of the takeaways would be they're pretty high on Dwayne, at least right now. He's got to prove it,
or he
sure
feels
like
there's something to build with there.
Supportive, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It almost seems like he's turned a corner on him, because I didn't feel like he was that positive when he first took the job. He was very cautious, and he's still being sort of he's still got to earn it and all that, but a lot more pro Dwayne than I think early on.
I mean, if he was going to sign Cam, he would have already done it.
I think he probably would have.
Yeah, I mean, he's just being nice to his
being
former
nice.
Quarterback.
I mean, Cam may have to take a Jameis-like deal. I just don't know where would he get more money or an opportunity to be a starter.
Man, that
maybe outside of Jacksonville,
that guy's
know.
Ego is larger than the state of Carolina. I don't know where he's going to be able to be subservient. You know what I mean?
Think about it. Winston threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. Cam Newton's a former MVP. You know, Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton, but you know, still a pretty quality.
He's
starter.
On the market. I mean,
all these guys who
Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, but I'm going to put him.
Was he Super Bowl MVP?
Way down the list because of his injuries.
Oh, did Joe Flacco win the Super Bowl?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Of course.
But, I mean, these guys are, you know, if nothing else, big names, and they're backups, or they're looking for jobs.
Looking for work.
Where do you honestly think, though, that he could go where Cam is not going to pout on the sideline? Like, you have to be a beast for Cam to respect you that much. I think if he went somewhere and it was like a Haskins situation, he's going to try to beat out, and he's going to be bitter if the young kid is ahead of him. I almost feel like he has to pull a Winston and be behind a legend where his ego can handle it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I don't think there's any
it's
place.
It's a fragile situation.
Yeah, there's probably no place that he could go that he wouldn't pout. I just think he's going to pout anywhere, but maybe
he wouldn't
he's
pout
humbled.
Behind Breeze.
Maybe he's humbled now where he's kind of desperate and wants a job, so he'll be cool. But I don't know. It's a good question. I always thought New England was a good spot because you've got a young quarterback they're trying to groom.
Yeah.
And he could help
them
there.
I don't know if he would coexist with Belichick.
Like, no, I don't think he coexists with anybody.
I think
there are certain guys like where you just have to respect him. So, like, I think Breeze, I think he would be like, all right, he's Drew Breeze. There might only be a handful of those spots.
Right,
but...
well, they chose Winston over Cam because he's probably a better dude.
Yeah.
He's better in the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, if you look at the standings, there just aren't any spots besides – I just went through all the teams except for maybe Jacksonville.
And why aren't they? What do they have there again?
Gardner Minshew.
Minshew
mania.
So they're just trying to get
Gruden
the
wouldn't
Chiefs.
Be sized for Cam Newton. You know that. He doesn't like that type of quarterback.
Who?
Gruden is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Jay.
Well, why? He would like. You don't think he would like Cam? Just because he didn't
like.
Here's
who Jay's not going to
like.
He
just didn't want to deal with a young
quarterback. He doesn't want to deal with headaches.
And he doesn't want to deal with Leonard Fournette. A big surprise, there was no trade market for Leonard Fournette when the Jags were trying to unload him.
Right.
I mean, if you just go through the divisions, where would Cam Newton fit or any of these guys, right? Start with the AFCs. Patriots, that would be a spot, but they don't seem interested. The Bills have a young quarterback. The Jets have a young quarterback. The Dolphins just drafted a Tua. You go to AFC North. The Ravens are set at quarterback. The Steelers have Big Ben. Cleveland's got Baker Mayfield. Cincinnati just drafted Joe Burrow. Go to the AFC South. Houston Texans have Deshaun Watson. Titans re-signed Tannehill. Colts brought in Phillip Rivers. Then there's the Jags. That's the team that I think that would be a spot. I mean, you can go down every division.
If AFC West,
Mahomes, the Broncos, obviously they're going with Drew Locke. The Raiders have settled in on Carr, brought in Mariota.
Right, stop for a second.
And the Chargers.
To my point that I was bringing up earlier, what if he goes and signs with the Chiefs? Because he's clearly going to be behind Mahomes. There's no going to, you know what I mean? There's no pouting there. Mahomes, arguably the best quarterback in the league. And then you learn under Andy Reid, who's their backup behind Mahomes, Cakes? You usually know those things.
I think it
has been Matt Moore, but I don't know.
So then you have
an
established backup.
It's Chad Henne.
Chad Henne. Okay.
Oh, come on. Cam Newton's greater than Chad Henne. And you get to learn under Andy Reid. Like, I think that's a spot.
I think another good spot potentially for him might be Indianapolis, where you know that Philip Rivers has a year, maybe two left.
And he's old, and he could
he's
fall
old,
apart.
And if he falls apart this season, he slides right in. And you also have Frank Reich there, who's got a reputation for developing quarterbacks.
But they have Brissett.
What about Pittsburgh?
For behind Big Ben?
Pittsburgh would be another good spot, too.
You know, because Big Ben not going to lose his job to Cam. But if he gets hurt, you got a stud. That's the kind of situation. If I was Cam and if he has any say in it, I would go to, and especially like, you know, the Chiefs that can win it all. I would go to a team where they could win it all, play behind a silly where it doesn't look like, you know, like if I'm playing behind Jared Stidham or something, that's embarrassing almost if I'm Cam Newton. But if I'm playing behind, if I'm backing up Pat Mahomes, my ego can handle that. If I'm backing up Phillip Rivers even, my ego could probably handle that.
Yeah, but I think most
or
of these
Big
teams,
Ben.
They've already made the decisions. I would think that he obviously is suited for a backup role anywhere he goes now, but what about going to the Giants?
Well, the problem is he could probably beat out Daniel Jones. Now you're gonna, you know what I mean?
No, he couldn't. He's not going to beat out a guy you drafted in the top five.
Well, if it was fair, I understand what you're saying.
I think the 2015 version of Cam Newton would clearly beat out Daniel Jones. But yeah, you don't know if you're getting that player in 2020.
Right. I mean, he's a backup wherever he goes, but you just have to worry about him causing a stink.
Yeah, well, I think, again, his ego's larger than Daniel Jones, and he's got a bigger resume. I just don't think that would work.
That's why he's not. That's why he doesn't have a job. He's earned it.
Yeah.
I mean, someone will sign him, but
it'll be interesting.
I think he's going to go to one of the. I'm betting on he goes to one of those established places. He's not going to unseat like a young first round pick that the team. That's just asking for trouble. If the Giants sign him, that's just asking for a weekly headline. And it's just asking for trouble. Every time Daniel Jones struggles, well, should we play Cam? Should we play
Cam?
That
would be the case here in Washington.
That would be the exact case here in Washington. That's why you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, phone number you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. We got Fridays with Feinstein coming up at 8 o'clock. But next, we have our World Series Rewind here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We have best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein joining us at 8 o'clock. But every morning at this time, we do a little World Series Rewind. Today, we turn to June 9th, 2019, when the Nats were in San Diego taking the Padres. And this is the game where they hit not one, not two, not three, but four home runs in a row. Here's our World Series Rewind.
It's the World Series Rewind. Presented by Waldorf Honda, the first and largest remote car delivery dealership for sales and service in the DMV area. Waldorf Honda has kept it simple. Visit their website, waldorfhonda.com.
Now Stammen's ready into the wind. The kick and the pinch. Breaking ball hit in the air to deep left field. This is way back. This one is going. It's gone. Goodbye. Off the scoreboard, the facing of the second level in left center field, Howie Kendrick. Now the wind of the pitch. Turner swings, belts one to deep center field. Margo going back, way back in the warning track, of the wall. This one is gone. Goodbye. Back-to-back home runs for the Nationals. First Kendrick, and now Trey Turner with a bomb over the center field fence for his fourth home run of the year. Four home runs, 12 RBIs as Eaton belts one. Deep right center field. Margo back, way back. It is gone. Goodbye. Just over the wall at the 396-foot marker to the right of dead center field. And for the first time this year, the Nationals have gone back to back to back. Now the pitch to Rendon. Belted in the air to deep right. Back goes Reyes, way back. Going, going. It is gone. Nationals have hit back-to-back-to-back-to-back home runs. Anthony Rendon with his 12th home run of the year and RBI number 42. Four consecutive batters have hit home runs. It's the Nationals 5 and the Padres 1. History time for the Nationals.
Yeah, that was not a nice way to treat longtime Nat Craig Stammen. You're just jacking balls left and right.
How many did they hit? They hit all four of them off of him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Four taters and seven pitches.
That's just amazing. And I remember watching that and thinking, well, this is the craziest thing I've ever
seen.
That's
BP.
And then apparently it's the second time the Nats have done it, and I guess plenty of other teams have done that before, where four guys in a row go up there and hit bombs. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that feels like a once in a lifetime thing, and meanwhile, it's happened twice in the last 3 years here with the Nats.
So. Strassi improved to 7-3 after that game. So, yeah. And they were rolling. What was their record after that, JP? Do you have that? 30-35.
Yeah, 30-35.
So they're still inching towards 500.
Play the first part of that clip again, Valdez, if you can. Listen, I want you to imagine the home run. Listen to it now, and maybe the first two or whatever, and imagine now no crowd noise.
Now okay. Stammen's ready into the wind. The kick and the pinch. Breaking ball hit in the air to deep left field. This is way back. This one is going. It's gone. Goodbye. Off the scoreboard, the facing of the second level in left center field, Howie Kendrick.
Like, just think about how weird that's going to be.
And through that clip,
how
weird
it's going to be for Charlie and Dave.
Yeah, you can hear the crowd frustration at Petco. Like by the third home run, the boo birds start coming out, and then by the fourth,
can you get to the fourth one?
Stamina's getting pulled.
And for the first time this year, the Nationals have gone back to back to back. Now the pitch to Rendon, belted into the air to deep right. Back goes Reyes, way back, going,
the crowd.
Going, and it's gone. Goodbye.
And that's
going to be freaking bizarro world.
And that's typically a chill, like Southern California, San Diego crowd. You know, like that's not even like a typically rowdy crowd.
Yeah, it's not like you're playing in New York or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But they had seen enough.
Yeah. Man,
I'm telling you, it's going to be like a funeral.
Well, hell, they're probably rooting for it at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to see something cool.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
But four in a row. June 9th. That's awesome.
I'm going to click on the video again of the hottie walking in the background of the Spanish broadcaster.
You keep revisiting that clip?
It just makes me chuckle. He's a good-looking dude.
Thought of you yesterday, EB. I saw that Paige Spiranak has been posting a lot of photos.
Oh, she knows how to take advantage of it.
Former Junkies guest.
Yeah. I'm bitter that I wasn't there when she was in studio with us.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what I had, but I think I might have been out of town for a game or something. But I'm just blown away that this dude, the Spanish guy, I mean, you can see he's a good-looking guy. He had broken up with his girlfriend 4 days earlier and already had a silly walking around butt naked in the background, Cakes. how long would it take Johnny Cakes to have a silly like that walking around in the background?
That dude's a player. I don't know what to tell you.
Cakes is going to have Amy do that on Tuesday during the Cinco de Mayo.
During the Cinco de Mayo.
Right. I always find it funny what titillates Eric.
That titillates me.
It's such a grainy video. You can't even hardly see anything.
And no, it's just the idea.
But that's his
of it.
Wheelhouse.
It's you know what? It's the idea of what he was doing before he went on air and what he's going to do after he
Think
went
about
on.
It. Here, the guy looks a little disheveled. He's like he just threw on the white shirt. He's probably got no pants on. The girl is wearing no bottoms. I guess she just threw a bra on, and she's bringing her coffee, it looks like, to either the breakfast table or, what do they call those things?
Where it's studio?
Like a studio apartment, and she's just going to lay on the bed or something.
EB likes poor production value, grainy video, poor lighting.
Yes.
He likes all those things.
This guy's broadcasting. And his hot creeper is just walking around nonchalantly with no pants on and her coffee.
So hot, too.
I mean, it's not real life. What was the last
time? It's Zoom life.
When was the last time Amy walked around with no pants on grabbing her coffee?
Never.
Probably never did it.
Around the house?
Right. Even Drabby, who's a young married guy. He's not young, but his wife is young.
Right.
What was the last time Sarah...
I could see her doing that,
around with no pants and coffee. Be honest, Drabby.
More often than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
You could?
Does that set off Oakley? Is that like our alarm bells ringing?
Well, he doesn't have kids. Yeah. It's a different
I know
world.
He doesn't have kids, but...
Like, not in the kitchen. In the bedroom, sure.
Okay, in the bedroom. This guy's on TV, and his creeper for 2 days is that comfortable.
And she had to have known it. She knew he was on TV.
I don't think she knew that she... Because that busts him.
But she knew he was on TV.
He's talking.
It means she's kind of like a voyeur.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's funny that this
exhibitionist.
Really, this does titillate me. Yes.
Yeah, it made an impression on you. Like I thought it gave me a chuckle when I read the headline. But you're thinking about it 48 hours later.
Well, the picture showed up on the New York Post, and I just have to click on the video again and see her just nonchalantly walking over there with no pants on.
I still haven't checked it out. How do I Google it, EB? What would be my search?
I don't know. Hot chick with no pants? That's
search
all you need.
Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground.
Spanish news anchor.
It'll come up in 2 seconds.
Hottie in the background. No pants. Just grabbing her coffee like it's
pants
nothing.
Pants on the ground? That's so funny.
You just get the idea that she...
can't say that.
You can't say that.
Why can't I say that?
I don't know.
I mean, we got Arkansas Derby this weekend.
You should be able to say
I'm just promoting that.
You're right. Oh, that makes, JP, can you see it now?
I mean, the clip is 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
What? It's 15 seconds.
No, it's not.
All right, I'm going to send you. Hold on, JP.
Now EB's going to scramble for the extended cut.
No, I'm going to. Yeah, you got a 3-minute clip?
Yeah, you want the extended cut now.
Yeah. No, this it's literally 2 seconds.
Okay, here, JP. I see that. I mean, it's nothing. You see, like, her butt.
Yeah, of course.
It's grainy. It's terrible, as Cakes mentioned.
Yeah, but it's just the idea of it.
You might as well read Literotica, EB, if that's going to get you fired up.
I'm not against Literotica. That's a drabby thing,
that's
by the way.
That's my one seed.
That is your one seed? Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that used to be able to get the job done for me when I was a teen. I don't know that it would hold up.
Not in your adult years.
Can you imagine Literotica combined with Step Brothers for Drabby?
Step Brother.
Wow, stepsister, whatever.
Sister, he's into incest. Yeah. Yeah.
Step. Right. I thought you meant the Will Ferrell film. No.
Does Drabby have a sister? I can't remember. He does, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he obviously...
He's got a lot of brothers.
Yeah.
Do they all live in Seattle or in that area?
I think one lives in, like, Carolina,
they're spread out.
No. He moved from... I got two in Dallas.
Yeah. Doesn't one live in, like, Morgantown?
Nah, he moves all over.
He moved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's your sister live?
Spokane.
Spokane. Yeah. Is she your favorite sibling?
What are you getting at? I know what you're doing.
So weird.
Step Very creepy. Weird. All right, it's not a stepsister. It's his sister.
Oh, a weird
that's right.
Dude.
It's his real sister.
Let's make a transition. Coming up next.
You think her lips are like drabs?
He
joins us every Friday. John Feinstein next on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.